Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hey, thanks for joining us today here on Video Games Now podcast. My name is Rodney. I'm one of the hosts, and I'm with my co-host, Will.
How's it going, everyone?
And today, we're just going to kind of introduce ourselves a little bit, talk about our favorite games or least favorite games, and talk about a little bit about Pokemon, a little bit about Xenoblade Chronicles X. So if you guys want to listen in on that, stay tuned, and we'll try to entertain you the best we can in the next 30 minutes. Here we go. All right, just to start things off here, favorite games, why don't we get that right out of the way now? So I guess I'll go first, unless you want to talk about yours real bad, Will.
Take it away.
All right. So, I mean, I'm just going to say Zelda. I'm not going to pick one particular game, Breath of the Wild. But I just really like the lore inside Zelda. Like, it started up super generic with the first game in 1987, but it just, every game adds more and more and more lore. You know, and it's just interesting to follow and interesting to keep up on. And you just, each game that comes out, you just want to see what it's adding to the lore and stuff. And it's just, it's really enticing. So, you've played Breath of the Wild, obviously, Will.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. What'd you think of that?
Amazing.
Yeah. I haven't played a disappointing Zelda game except maybe Zelda 2, because they just made this formula with the first game and then just kind of didn't follow it.
Well, speaking of like Zelda 2, even the first one, it was a lot more challenging than what you have nowadays.
Yeah.
All you had was slash and block.
And die. Zelda, that's my favorite franchise, I guess, of all time. I don't know. What about you, man? What's going on?
Well, I've always been into big RPGs, and I have to start it off with Elder Scrolls. It's just a fantastic story, incredible lore throughout every game that just keeps adding more depth.
So it's like Zelda for adults or something?
Pretty much. Yeah. A little more gory. Different choices you can make. Not so much that your choices will affect the game, but just so much story that keeps you playing.
Right. So what's your favorite Elder Scrolls?
Favorite game would have to be Skyrim.
Right.
Mainly because I've always been a fan of Vikings and Norse mythology, and Skyrim just delivered.
Right. I watched that show Viking once. I didn't like it.
You're dead to me now.
Right. So, I mean, we can go on all day about our favorite games, but what really makes entertainment is least favorite games, so I might as well go first and just take the hit full on. I don't like COD, and I've played a lot of COD games, and it's just the same thing every time, you know, like the same recycled game every year. You have to invest hours in it to even start having fun. like I've basically maxed out every online account that I've had on each COD game, and I'm just like, I still kind of don't even have fun most of the time because there's always someone better than you, like the pro players that just come and troll everyone and get like 40 kills a game. Yeah, I don't have time for that. You have anything to add?
Yeah. Speaking of COD, I've never been huge on the multiplayer. As you say, you run into a pro player, you're hiding behind a wall, and next thing you know, you get a headshot.
Yeah. Yeah.
But now if we're going back to, say, Call of Duty 1 or 2, Xbox, PS2 era.
Yeah.
Now, did you think they brought anything new because they were the first of the generation?
Yeah, I mean, same thing with when Halo came out for the Xbox, like that was innovative on its own, you know, but I mean, yeah. And then COD brought its own thing to the table. Like it was very tactical and, you know, but they haven't really innovated much since then. Like they've been just finding out ways to make more money rather than to make the consumer happy, which I mean, yeah, that's what it's all about when you own a company, but I don't know how people just go buy the same game every year.
Now, do you think it was a smart idea for them to have different studios make every Call of Duty? I'm talking about bouncing from franchise, well, staying franchise, but different stories. So Modern Warfare, Black Ops, Advanced Warfare,
right?
All different studios.
I don't know. I mean, I don't see a difference, really. I mean, Nazi zombies is like the only difference, and which is fun. But I mean, even on the newest one on World War II, like there was like two maps. Like that's not fun, you know. I mean, the one map has like a massive objective, which you need to be, you know, good to even complete. So campaigns are fun, but I just hate how it gives you the illusion of being in a squad, but it's just you. Like if you're playing on hardcore, you're like. Every AI is like, oh, well, we'll just kind of go hide in the corner. Like, I physically watched, like, one of my squad mates was, like, shooting at an AI, and the AI was shooting at them, and they were, like, 10 feet away, and they just, like, weren't killing each other. Like, and then I step out, and then every enemy's like, oh, there he is, and like, instant aim, instant death. Like, come on. So, yeah, the campaign just doesn't make me happy sometimes. At least the dumbass AI pals in Halo 5 campaign can revive you. Like, that's something useful. But other than that, they're pretty useless. So,
now, can you say one positive thing about Call of Duty?
Yeah, it got me $20 a trade in. It's more than I was expecting. So, I almost bought a Sonic game. I was so pissed off. And we all know how good those games are. So, all right. Least favorite game, Will. Go.
I know I'm going to take a hit for this, but I'm going to go straight to Destiny.
Ooh. And the comments go wild.
Now, why? That is so many different reasons. There is just no actual stories. The mission really had no objective that helped move the story forward as right. Other games.
Yeah.
What would you say about Destiny? Come on, you have to agree with me on this.
Yeah, I mean, I bought the first one when it came out, and it just, like, I really enjoyed the game up to level 20. Like, it was a fair challenge. Like, I had fun with it, but as soon as I got to level 20, it just became complete garbage. Like, grinding for gear and, you know, light level. What is that? Just level 21. Like, oh. I didn't like Destiny, you know. And then to top it off, all the DLC that costs $60 a pop. It's like, I don't want to pay $60 more to get like 10 hours of gameplay more. Like, it's not worth it. So, what is the worst thing about Destiny, you think?
As you mentioned, it's got to be the grinding. You hit level 20 and to say do any of the raids,
yeah.
You literally can't survive without better gear.
Yeah. Everyone's been that person that's like, oh, I'm level like, you know, 20 whatever, and they're like light level whatever to whatever. I don't even know light level because I haven't played past that point, but yeah, everyone's just like insanely better than you, and you're just like, yeah, I'll just sit here and collect the XP and do absolutely no work. Like, yeah. I do basically no damage anyway. So
I remember doing the first raid, Vault of Glass, over and over again, and I don't think it was till about the fifth or sixth run where I could actually hold myself.
Right.
That everyone was literally carrying me through it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, if we're going to talk about grinding, we need to talk about Xenoblade Chronicles X, because that game had so much grinding. It was just ridiculous. Like, the first area that, like, outside the town that you're in, it's just, I mean, at that point, it's fun. But as soon as you go to the next area, you, like, all the enemies go from, like, level 13 to level, like, 25, and you're like, what? So, and it's just so much grinding, and, like, you have to play so many hours of gameplay before you even get to the mechs, and you're like, oh, it's just...
Now, when they first announced Xenoblade Chronicles X, with that trailer, the announcement, I was super excited. You know, 400 hours of campaign story. But getting into it, as you said, the grinding to move from one place to the next, and not even like 180 hours in, and I haven't unlocked the mech, I pretty much just gave up.
Yeah, it's just too much. I mean, like, I watched the trailer, and I was like, what is this? Like, I was super stoked, and it's for the Wii U, and it looked, like, amazing. But, yeah, I just got super bored super quick, and it was like throwing too much technical blabble crap right at you, like, all at once. It was a lot to take in, you know.
Yeah, we've discussed it before, but I know you've never played the original Xenoblade,
right?
But I remember as soon as you start the game, it gives you one mini quest. I can't remember too much about it, but you go out into the first open area and you run, you can see this gorilla, like, huge. What's it doing there? The HP is like at least 12 times more than what I'm carrying. He sees you once, he'll chase you around that field till he clobbers you to death.
Just wrecks you. Yeah. Nothing makes me more like insanely mad while I'm playing a game is just like, you get wrecked, like insta-wrecked, like you didn't even stand a chance, you know?
Is Xenoblade.
And that's also Dark Souls.
Oh,
that is.
That's going to be a whole different bag of worms.
But I mean, it at least like promotes itself as like you're not going to survive this game. Like, you go in knowing you just have no chance at all. But like, you know, you play a game like Xenoblade Chronicles X and it's like, trying like, oh, look at our nice game, yeah, you get to go out and fight stuff, it's really cool, you get these powers, yeah, and then you just get wrecked.
The one thing though, as bringing up Dark Souls, they told everyone that game was going to be super hard. Yeah. I knew what I was getting into.
Yeah, for sure.
But after getting wrecked over and over again, it's the only game, but I have thrown the controller at the wall.
I threw a Xbox controller in the garbage once after I lost a game of Halo Reach. It was quite embarrassing. I did it like while a friend was over too, like right in the garbage, and he's like, "Oh yeah." I'm like, "Oh, f you!" I just like went insane. So, still on grinding here. We got to talk about what, like, how grinding is definitely a thing in Pokemon, but why is it more tolerable than in Xenoblade Chronicles X?
Well, in Pokemon, the grinding isn't as hard as, say, Xenoblade, Destiny. You're grinding more for level, but you only need to grind pretty much at the beginning of the game, get ready for the first town that has the gym. After that, just facing the trainers, moving from one area to the next, keeps you pretty much with the same level.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And I mean, there's a little bit of extra incentive with leveling up in Pokemon, where it's like, oh, I get my Pokemon to evolve, it'll get stronger, you know, or, oh, I level it up to level 16 and it'll learn this move or whatever, right? Whereas in Xenoblade, it's like you literally have to just level up to survive, you know? So
yeah, yeah.
It's just a little bit different. And I just like the whole, yeah, I just like Pokemon. Well, the reason it wasn't my favorite, though, it's just not the same. Like, it's all the same thing, really. Like, they kind of changed it up a little bit in Sun and Moon. The one thing I really did like about Sun and Moon was that you're the first champion and then you have to defend your title. I was like, what? Because like no one ever acknowledges that you're the champion, even though you beat him like a bajillion times and everything's level 100 and you're just buff.
Yeah, that was a game changer for me as well. But another thing was being able to challenge Red.
Yeah. And then when you beat him, you're like, so am I better than Red? Or what the... But no, he's... Yeah, that was... The battle tree was interesting, for sure. I completed the Pokedex on that game in, like, a weekend.
I remember.
Yeah.
I think, like, I was still struggling, like, 3 weeks later.
Yeah. Well, I'm good at Pokemon. What can I say? My favorite one was Omega Ruby, because Pokemon Ruby Sapphire were my absolute favorite games, and then Omega Ruby just made them like so much better. And you can complete the National Dex, which I did, 721 at the time. Yeah, so that was fun. That took me months.
Talk like, about no life.
Yeah. Hey, I was actually getting paid to play video games at that time, so that was nice. Are there any games in your experience that you would want to play for the first time? To play again for the first time.
Really hard to say, but I think I would go back to God of War.
Oh yeah? See, I've never had a PS. Well, I played a PS1. I played like Croc, so I was like hype as shit back in the day before I got Mario 64 and then completely abandoned PS. But, yeah, I mean, God of War looks interesting, but I've never played it.
Basically, I was talking about earlier, I'm really big on mythology and games that can give you a different set of lore. God of War basically followed a Greek gods and revenge.
Oh, really? So, like, how did the story all work?
Well, wow, it's been a while. Like I said, I'd be great to go back and replay God of War. I just remember Kratos was some sort of servant of the Greek gods. Right. He gets betrayed, and the whole thing is just him about getting revenge and killing the gods.
Oh, that's right on. I think I saw a completionist video. Keep doing the completionist. We like it. About God of War, and it actually piqued my interest about it, so
it's a great game. That would definitely be one I'd love to go back and play for the first time.
Yeah.
Other than that, I can't really think of too many games. Because I keep playing games over and over again.
It has replay value.
Definitely.
Yeah. But not very many of those anymore, you know, like COD, no replay value. Just like,
yeah.
Will you go back and play COD Modern Warfare 1?
I think I would. Actually, the Modern Warfare story was one of my favorites. Right. 1, 2, and 3 just kept going.
Yeah. But yeah, you're not making me look good here. Well, I'm trying to, you know.
Call of Duty Modern Warfare would have been the only one, and the only one I'm going to talk about that is mean something.
Right. Okay.
Everything else? Dead to me.
Yeah. I played World at War. That was the last good one that I enjoyed. But
I can't remember which one it is. It was the last one I picked up, and I only picked it up for Kevin Spacey.
Right on. For me, I would almost say Breath of the Wild or even Skyward Sword, like Zelda, because what I did for both of those games is I don't watch any like, oh, here's 20 minutes of gameplay from this game, or, you know, learn this, learn that. Like, it basically just spoils the game before you've even played it. Like, I don't get involved with any of that. I just play the game having only seen the release trailer, which like gets me so hyped on it. So it's really hard to not watch the first 20 minutes of gameplay, but I don't. And then the first thing I experience is the game itself, and it's really nice. And with Breath of the Wild, I basically didn't look up any how to get any freaking Korok seeds or how to beat any shrine or anything. I basically played it all without any guide, and so I wanted to find the Master Sword, for example, and I'm like, oh well, the Master Sword's in a forest. I saw it in the release trailer. It was in a forest of some sort. So I'm basically looking in the south part of like the Farron's Woods, like just scavenging that like hardcore for like hours and hours and hours, and like I just basically explored that whole area, and I obviously found a bunch of other things that were in the Master Sword. And then I like really looked at my map and I'm like, oh, the Lost Woods, derp. Like, how did I not figure that out? So, and then I found the Master Sword, and then I couldn't even pull it out because I didn't have 13 hearts or whatever. So, like, oh, that sucks.
What a disappointment.
Yeah. Yeah. And I call myself a Zelda fan. I couldn't even figure it out. It was in the Lost Woods.
But talking about Zelda, I know, like, you and myself, I like to 100 complete games.
Yeah.
Did you go after all 900 Korok seeds?
Well, I was until I watched the Gerard on The Completionist when he completed the game, and he's like, oh, all you get is a steaming pile of golden poo. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not into that. So, yeah.
I feel you.
Yeah. Basically, you have to get like 400 and whatever to maximize all your inventory. So that, like, that's the only. That's what I got.
After that, it's just no go.
Yeah. Golden pile of poo. Like, watch them release some DLC that's like, oh, you put your golden pile of poo here and you get some sweet armor or something. Like, it's just going to troll us hard.
Could you imagine Nintendo doing that and everyone having to go get 900 Korok seeds?
Yeah. And you get the golden pile of poo armor. It's just like solid gold. Like, basically, you only take like an eighth damage. That'd be worth it. I'd get all the 900 Korok seeds to take an eighth of damage.
I would too, but I wouldn't be happy about it.
Yeah. Golden pile of poo. I that's the worst thing ever. Like, that's the worst collectible, like, in any game I've ever played.
Yeah, so. I remember when they announced if you got 900, you would get something. I was looking forward to it, and once I saw what it was, that was it.
Yeah. I don't like that guy either, the Maracas dude that you give the seeds to. Someone was cosplaying him at PAX West last year. It was, yeah,
I remember.
But, yeah, he didn't dance very well, though. I was very disappointed. Yeah, Breath of the Wild is really good, and I, like I said, Skyward Sword was also really good. Everyone always hates on it, but like, the story was really good. I really liked it. And that's what drove me through that whole game was like, oh, I want to save Zelda because I actually like care about her, like, as you know. So I didn't mind the motion controls. I mean, they're frustrating sometimes, but whatever. I mean, I dealt with it. It was the sensor bar that pissed me off more than anything, because you're like trying to point at the sensor bar and it's like point at the sensor bar. I'm like, I am.
Yeah, it just wasn't well made. I had a lot of issues with the sensor bar and the placement.
Yeah. I mean, the one issue I do have with it is, like, I fight the imprisoned three times. Like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, that imprisoned sucked. And then you're like, oh, I got to battle him again. Yeah.
Now, you've talked about Skyward Sword, Breath of the Wild. One of my favorites, Twilight Princess. What are your thoughts?
Twilight Princess was good. It was the release for the Wii, so I, you know, played the crap out of that. And then it got re-released on the Wii U in HD, and I 100% of that again. They added some things too. That was nice. But yeah, I really like it. I like Midna. I like the fact that you become a wolf. And then all you do basically is change into a wolf to run faster.
So, yeah, but the wolf gameplay kind of added a different dynamic.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you're trying to do. That's what they're trying to do with every Zelda game. They're trying to, you know, do something a little bit different. COD doesn't do that. You know, like, yeah, Twilight Princess, you're a wolf, and in Skyward Sword, it was the motion controls and the fact that you can, you know, it's the origin story of the lore. That's what also drove me in. Like, I was like, oh, how was the Master Sword created? Like, you know, so yeah, Twilight Princess was a fantastic game. So, I liked that you got to go a bit deeper in the desert and you got to like the Arbiter Grounds. That was a fun. That's like one of my favorite dungeons, I think. The water one, every water dungeon sucks, like straight up. I can't think of one that I like. The one I hate the most is in Majora's Mask. I absolutely hate that dungeon and I hate that boss. And I just wouldn't, I would prefer to just skip that whole area.
I agree.
So, yeah. But yeah, I mean, Zelda is just, like I said earlier, it just doesn't disappoint me. Like, every one I've played, I've liked.
Now we've kind of covered games we could play for the first time again. I'm going to be putting you on the spot. But what was the first console that got you into games?
The NES.
Okay, so we're talking blowing in the cartridges.
Man, I blew all day long and I played all day long.
I agree.
Yeah, I played original Mario, Duck Hunt, and the combo or whatever there. I was like the bee's knees at Duck Hunt.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I remember we stood in line last year for about an hour to replay Duck Hunt at PAX West.
Yeah, yeah, and I did pretty good. I think so, anyway. I can't remember at that point. But, yeah, and then what else did I play on the NES? I played, golf and, like, the most ridiculous games I played on the NES. I had this game called Wampum. It was like you're like this little Indian guy with a spear and you're like, yeah, you basically do like six areas and then you go to the final boss. And I never defeated the final boss. So I always got just wrecked, just straight up wrecked. And I was like, oh, this, how do you beat this boss?
Never heard of this game.
Oh,
but
it was fun. I liked it.
I'm going to look it up.
Yeah. It's called Wampum.
Wampum.
I think.
You think. Okay. Now.
Yeah, I think it's called. I'm going to look it up right now. I'm pretty sure it's called Wampum.
So you started with the NES. What did you move on to after that?
Well, I skipped the SNES and I went to the 64. So
good times.
The best console probably. So, and then I skipped the GameCube and then I got a Wii. Yeah, I skipped the GameCube. You know what? I mean, I didn't really like the GameCube anyway. Like, I like the game, some of the games that came on it, but the GameCube itself was just kind of trash.
It was a weird looking console.
Yeah.
But it did have some good games.
Yeah. Yeah, like Luigi's Mansion, Smash Bros. Yeah. Like
Pokemon XD.
Yeah, XD and Colosseum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was some great Pokemon games right there that we haven't been able to see anything close to in years.
Yeah. So yeah, that game is called Wampum. So WHOMP and then apostrophe EM.
Good stuff. I'll remember that.
Yeah. I liked it. I downloaded it on my emulator and I played it. And then I suck more now at the game than I did when I was a kid. So that's unfortunate. But
so you skipped the GameCube, went on to the Wii, hit the Wii U. Now we're on the Switch.
Yep. I got a 360. I went over to my friend's house and played like endless hours of Xbox and Halo, and that's what got me into Halo. But yeah, I had a 360 for quite a while, and then I got a 1. Haven't done the 1X yet. I just can't find the time to play all these games now. But yeah.
All right. We've talked about consoles. How about handhelds? What have you owned? What do you like? What do you dislike?
Well, I basically wanted to kill my parents because they never got me a Game Boy Color to play Pokemon Yellow. I just would never forgive them. But they did buy me a Game Boy Advance SP, so I didn't have the original Game Boy. I didn't have a Color. I didn't have a GBA, but I got a GBA SP. So I played the crap out of that. Like,
Do you remember how big the original Game Boy was? Yeah. I still have mine in my closet.
Yeah.
It came with like a purse.
Yeah,
that was not pocket friendly.
No. What about you? What consoles did you have?
Following you, I started with the NES, SNES, moved on to Sega, Dreamcast, GameCube, Wii U. Let's just say if it's been out, I've owned it.
Yeah. Right on. All right, so just wrapping up the podcast here, we just want to let you guys know what we're looking to get on the podcast. We really enjoy the community-based community of community-based community, like an idiot.
Ooh, wow, we're struggling.
Yeah, we just like the community that's around games, and we just think this is a new way to experience the community, talking about our favorite games, our least favorite games, reviews, news, stuff like that. So, yeah, we'll definitely be releasing some more podcasts in the future, so definitely check us out. And you can check us out on social media, which we're going to post our first question of the year. Which games are you most excited for this year? So, thanks for listening to the VGN podcast. Let us know your thoughts on our website at videogamesnow.ca. And from there, you can find us on our social media page on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, or whatever you're into these days. Also, don't forget to check us out on Patreon, where your donations will net you some sweet benefits, such as behind-the-scenes videos, bloopers, exclusive content, and more. We'll give links on our website, which was videogamesnow.ca. See you all in the next one.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.